Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for A Call to Decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 21 June 2023, first day of summer. In our part of the country, it's not feeling that way. It's been a really cool day in the 60s and should be in the 80s. In some parts of the country, they're up in the 100s and burning up. So anyway, we're glad you're with us, and I do mean that. I really mean that. Tonight's guest, I haven't had on for a long time. His name is Chris Pinto. I'm going to let him tell you all about himself in a few minutes. Before I do that, though, make mention two things. Tomorrow's Thursday, and Lord willing, I'll be in the office tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern. And hopefully Chris will be here with us tomorrow to get your orders out that you ordered last week and take any orders, new orders, whatever it may be. I want you all to feel free tomorrow to call us in the office and say hi to us, nothing else. Listen, I don't care. You don't have to order something. You don't have to be anybody that you think. You call us anytime you want to, especially on Thursdays, because I do answer the phone. Now, I may get a little busy. I may have to call you back something, but, folks, I want to talk to you. If you're a brand-new caller tomorrow, tell Crystal you're a new caller. I really look forward to talking to you because we want to hear from new folks and their ideas, and hopefully we'll be a blessing to you. And tomorrow you can call in the office if you want to place an order or ask any questions, whatever you want to do. If you don't have long distance, you can call us toll-free at 800-777-4403. 800-777-4403. If you do have long distance, you can call us and pay for the call to save us some money, folks, at the end of the month. 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. We want to hear from you. I do mean that. I sincerely do. Tomorrow, as I said, open for you just to call and say hi to us. I hope you'll take advantage of that. And a prayer request tonight. Remember, I asked for Phyllis Valens, Frankie Valens' wife. Now, Frankie Valens was a pop star back in the 60s. I've known the man now for several years. He was the MC one of her seminars many years ago. Very sweet couple. I told you Phyllis had a heart attack Monday, and she was in the hospital. Well, she passed away today. And Frankie, of course, contacted me by email and said he's having a hard time accepting the fact, although they were as ready for as they could get, I guess. Both of them agreed it's time for her to go. Both of them are ready. But no matter how you look at it, folks, it hurts to lose a companion, your best friend of almost 40 years. So please keep Frankie and the whole family in your prayers. The Lord give him comfort through this. I can only imagine, folks. I've been with my wife, Marcia Jean, going on 52 years. I cannot imagine her not being with me after all these years. I really can't. But nonetheless, keep Frankie in your prayers and the family also. Now, to go to our guest tonight, Chris Pinto. and written books, made documentaries by the bunches. To say an expert on many things is like saying the ocean's a big pond of water. I mean, he definitely is. And I've looked at some of his videos. I read a couple of his books. And, folks, this man has been around a while, sharing knowledge, information, uncovering things that we need to know. Well, let's go right now to our guest. Let's go to Chris Pinto. Chris, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Pastor Butch. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, sir, and I'm glad to have you with us tonight. And I sincerely mean that, Chris. It's been a while since you and I got together in the radio.
I know. I think we did a radio show together like 20 years ago when I made one of my first documentaries, Megiddo, The March to Armageddon. It was on Bible prophecy and the New World Order, or somewhere around there when I did Megiddo 1, and then we did part 2, Megiddo 2, The New Age. And somewhere in there, you and I did one or two radio shows. I'm trying to remember. But I've always remembered you. So praise the Lord.
Well, I tell you what, I didn't realize it had been that long ago. You know, we're getting old.
I know.
But anyway, I'm glad you're with us tonight, Chris. I mean that before we get into what we're going to discuss tonight, folks, we got several things to discuss. His latest documentary will be one of the main ones, though. Tell the folks who you are, Chris. For brand new listeners, we have people listening all over the world tonight. And I'm going to say hi to Miss Blue in France. Yeah, I wouldn't do that, seriously. And April in Australia. And anyone of the folks that listens overseas, I wish you would send me your name or email address or whatever. I'd like to say hi to you. I'm amazed people listen right here in America, much less overseas, and of course listeners in Canada and different places. But for someone to listen overseas, an old hillbilly from West Virginia, down in the holler, out in the woods, is humbling to me. If you're listening anywhere outside the country, send me an email. It's easy email to remember. It's pastorbutch@startmail.com. PastorButch@startmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Now, Chris, tell us who you are. Tell the people what you do and how you got involved in all this.
Well, my name is Chris Pinto, and I'm a documentary filmmaker. I've been making Christian documentaries for a little over 20 years now, and I started out really wanting to be more of a Hollywood type independent filmmaker, but the Lord, thank the Lord, He pulled me out of all that, and I got saved when I was 30 years old, and when I was living in New York. And I became a born-again believer and then turned my life over to the Lord Jesus Christ and actually thought I was going to give up my ambitions to be a filmmaker for a while. But then within a few months after I got saved, the Lord opened the door, and I was writing a screenplay for an independent Christian film company. And so that was kind of the first work that I did. And then spent a few years working on different projects and just trying to figure out what direction the Lord wanted me to go in. And then had some friends hand me a video on the music industry called Rock and Roll Sorcerers of the New Age Revolution by a guy named Pastor Joe Schimmel out in California. And I ended up watching that documentary, and Pastor Joe was talking about Bible prophecy and talking about things that I'd not heard of, like the New Age, the New World Order, and really Satanism in the music industry. And Pastor Joe just had all this documentation. And at first, when my friends first talked to me about this thing, I really had no interest in it. I just thought it just sounded kind of spooky, and I didn't want to get involved. I was involved in Bible study every day. But I agreed to, watch a little bit of it or whatnot. Got home, started watching about 10 or 15 minutes, and in no time, I was locked in. And the thing that really impressed me was that Pastor Joe was tying in Bible prophecy and Bible verses that I was familiar with, but in a very, very up-to-date, contemporary way, and applying them to world events. And ultimately, that is what we would end up doing in our ministry, in my ministry, Adullam Films. So we chose the name Adullam Films because it's from the Old Testament, the Cave Adullam, where David, when he was being persecuted by Saul, King Saul, he fled to the Cave Adullam, and there the outcasts of Israel gathered around him, and he became their leader. And I always thought that was a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what our ministry is about. It's about fighting the good fight of faith through our work in film and video production. Kind of like David and his mighty men going out and fighting against the enemies of ancient Israel. So that's sort of the picture of our ministry. We see ourselves contending for the faith, defending the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we focus on issues pertaining to the Bible, history, and world events. And so our first couple of films... Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Go right ahead.
No, I was just going to say our first couple of films, you know, Megiddo and then Megiddo 2, dealt with Bible prophecy and globalism, you know, this whole fight that these globalists have to create what they're calling a new world order. And so that was our first documentary. But we talked about prophecy. We showed the outline of Bible prophecy. And then we showed world events over the last 100 to 150 years that have been coming to pass, where you have, you know, the Bible's telling us about these four world empires, and the fourth one is one that treads down, breaks in pieces, and devours the whole earth.
Right.
And it's generally believed that is the one world government. But what's remarkable is when you go and you study history and politics and so on throughout the 20th century, you find all of these world leaders pushing for a one world government.
Yes, you do.
And an international system. So that's what we did with our first film. We just showed people the Word of God is true, Bible prophecy is real, God's Word is coming to pass right before our very eyes, and we tend to use that approach to convict people to believe the Bible, turn away from sin and the darkness of this present world, and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation and life eternal.
So you've been doing this over 20 years then?
Yes. Yeah, so we started with our films on prophecy, and then we partnered up with another producer, and we produced a series called Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings. Part one, which was called The New Atlantis. Then we did part two, which was called Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Washington, D.C., and then part three, which was called Eye of the Phoenix, Secrets of the Dollar Bill. And that series became very, very popular. We won some film festival awards. We actually went to the, because the approach we took with it was to produce it like something you would see on the History Channel.
Right.
And we had, you know, actors and costumes. And, of course, back then we were based out in Los Angeles. So I could go to the studios and, you know, rent costumes and props and things like that. And we're able to put together a pretty, you know, a pretty good presentation, so much so that we won Best Documentary Feature at the New York International Film Festival, which was great. And it opened up the series, because what we were talking about is talking about the presence of these secret groups, these secret societies in early America, and then they're working up into modern times. And part one, which was called the New Atlantis is like the first name that they gave to the whole concept of globalism and the new world order. And it was this idea going back to Elizabethan England with Sir Francis Bacon and a friend of his named Dr. John Dee. And their belief that when the New World was discovered by Columbus, that what had really happened was they had discovered the location of lost Atlantis, literally, you know. And yep. So we show that while Puritans and Pilgrims came to America with the view of this becoming a Christian country, and they wanted to preach the gospel, there's no question about that. And we've got other films where we talk about that, but that you had these secret groups almost from the beginning, and they just had a very, very different vision for America.
You know,
and of course we believe.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say just real quick, that what's happening today, as we're watching the really these secret groups, these Skull and Bones, these people with the Bohemian Grove and Freemasons and Rosicrucians and so on, and Jesuits, they're another one. They're bending this, bending our country in the direction of this really pagan, anti-Christian system that they've envisioned for hundreds of years.
Well, we know Christ warned disciples and all of us that wherever the good seed was, the enemy planted tares among them. That started way back when America was first founded. It started about everything in the world's ever happened for the glory of Christ. That there've been infiltrators. It's happening today all over the world. But you know, we're seeing. I don't know if you ever read the book by Jonathan Cahn. If you haven't read this book called "Return of the Gods" by Jonathan Cahn, K-A-H-N, Chris, I cannot recommend that book to you highly enough. You can get that on Amazon or anywhere else. "Return of the Gods." That book is a book when you pick it up, you can't lay it down, and it outlays entirely what's happening in this country today. What happened to America is outlaid in that book. Now, I mean this sincerely. I will never tell you something I wasn't sure of. That book is absolutely the most, one of the best, I'd say top three or four books I've ever read in my life. A phenomenal book, Return of the Gods. If you get a copy, if you get a chance, read it as soon as you can. As a matter of fact, you probably want to interview Jonathan on your podcast because it's that good and that important. But now, what you've seen, obviously, for a lot of years now from your experiences, you've delved in a lot of things, I'm sure, a lot deeper than I have. But I've been teaching now what we call Christian Worldview News. When we have Bible studies, and we have it using the first and third Saturdays a month, we do an hour of Christian Worldview News. We take Bible, prophecy, Bible scripture, and show where we are in time in this country and in the world. Then the next hour is done in Bible study. So what you're doing really is taking Bible and showing history of what's prophesied in the past, what's happening now, and the future, coming in the very near future. And you made a lot of statements there. We have been infiltrated by so many different organizations. I mean, gee whiz. And I know you just made a recent one about the Jesuits, and I am not an expert on that, but I do know from experienced people that worked with Jesuits and got out of it, and some who, we'll say were involved in other ways, have told us exactly just how evil and corrupt that satanic cult really is. We have a Jesuit college not too far from us, actually. But I'm not picking on folks. We're not picking on Catholics. I'm not. I wouldn't do that. I don't pick on Zionists. I just tell the truth about these things. That both parties are wicked up to their eyeballs. Is, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you know, our new film, for those who might be interested, which we're writing about it on our website. We're offering a pre-sale, but we're hoping to have it done by the end of summer. But it's called American Jesuits, A History of Jesuitism in the United States. And it really is. I mean, I'll just give you a quote from John Adams in a letter that he wrote to Thomas Jefferson. He said, I know of no body of men more deserving of eternal perdition on earth or in hell than the Sons of Loyola, meaning the Jesuits, right, who were founded by Ignatius Loyola. So their history, which most people don't know because it's been covered up, it's been written out of our history books for the last 50 to 75 years. But if you were to go and study records through the 1800s, all the way through the 19th century into the early 20th century, you have just countless, probably hundreds, maybe thousands of books, essays, and pamphlets and so on from various Protestant ministers primarily, but also some Catholic writers warn about the Jesuit order because they were kicked out of the countries of Europe some 39 times before 1773, and then they were abolished by the Pope because they caused so much trouble in so many different places, and even their fellow Catholics turned on them and drove them out of their countries. And that continued through the 19th century. They were kicked out of Germany by Otto von Bismarck. Why? Because they were working with Karl Marx, and they were developing socialism. We all know the term today, social justice. Well, the term social justice was first developed by a Jesuit priest named Luigi Taparelli in 1843. And that's their doctrine. They invented this whole idea of social justice and they based it on the writings of Thomas Aquinas, what the Catholic Church calls St. Thomas Aquinas, who was a Dominican, and the Dominicans ran the Inquisition. And one of Aquinas' teachings was justifiable theft, that it was okay to steal from people as long as you were stealing for a good reason. That's what he taught. And that's what they based their whole concept of social justice on, this whole idea of redistribution of wealth. And it became like a gateway drug for socialism, or a gateway doctrine, really, for socialism and then communism. But they did develop those things with Karl Marx. They were, in fact, accused by Otto von Bismarck in the newspapers, and Marx admitted this. We're going to present all this documentation in our film. But J.A. Wiley, who was a very prominent Protestant historian back in 1881, wrote a book on the Jesuits where he said that they use communism as a weapon against countries that they're trying to control. That communism is the political instrument for socialism, basically the same thing, but it's the instrument that they use to get control of a political system, control the economy, control the leaders, and ultimately control the population. And most people are not aware of it, but the documentation for it is overwhelming. And there have been a number of historians through the 19th century who warned about this. In fact, one of the quotes from one of the resources that we used said that the papacy, he said, began as baptized paganism. And he said, it appears the papacy will conclude as a form of baptized atheism. And it's because of this embracing of socialism and communism, which is a politically, it's militant atheism. That's what it is, where they want to stamp out God from the laws and the traditions and everything and not have God and really God's authority, which is the foundation of American law. It was really the foundation of the laws of the countries in Western Europe. It was all based on how you viewed God.
Yes, it was.
You know?
Well, we know that the
law.
We know that pilgrims and Puritans come over here by their own writings to spread the gospel of Christ across the New World, they called it, America. And they come in, and when they first come in, they didn't even set up legislatures to pass laws on people. They set up legislatures to make sure that God's laws being upheld. So it's a whole different society. It took a long time, as you know, Chris, to undermine this nation. It took a long time. It started before you and I were born, but it hit the country big time in the 60s. It hit big time in the 60s with the free love and the free sex. And ever since that, the 60s and on, and I lived through this, I know what I'm talking about, it just totally and steadily decayed every day in every way possible, through entertainment, through the schools. It's been infiltrated totally and completely, and we know that. And now we look at the head of the so-called Catholic Church, the Pope, and how wicked he's become and how humanistic and actually satanic. And again, folks, we're not picking on Catholics. I'm not, because the Protestants in this land today are not much better, if better at all. That's just the way it is. Every organization has been infiltrated by the Jesuits, by a different group, by the Masons, by different groups, and brought and more or less destroyed one piece at a time, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that people don't realize the significance of the order. We're gonna educate people in the film, but people like Joe Biden is a Jesuit. He goes to a Jesuit church there in Washington, D.C. He had Jesuits that did the inaugural prayer for his inauguration. Nancy Pelosi is closely aligned with the Jesuit order. She's a Catholic, but she's a left-wing Catholic, a Jesuit Catholic. Bill and Melinda Gates, them also. Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci was trained and educated by Jesuit priests. He admits this. All the people who were involved in coronavirus, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, was sworn into her office by a Jesuit, and then Redfield, Dr. Redfield, who was the head of the CDC at the time, again, Jesuit educated at Georgetown University. And so you begin to study what happened with COVID-19 and coronavirus, and the Jesuits have their global coronavirus initiative, they and the Vatican are very, very much involved in everything that happened with COVID-19, the whole thing. And in fact, we're going to lay out the evidence in the film, but the evidence is really remarkable and overwhelming. And it appears that what they're doing, because they're main players, they're not the only ones. They're not the only ones, because you've got all these other groups, the Bilderbergs, you've got World Economic Forum, the United Nations, European Union, all these different groups that are working in concert together to try and bring about this one world system. But there's no question, as we're watching what they're doing with the LGBT movement and this transgender stuff, the transgender stuff has taken it all to the next level. And now they're just coming right out, as you know, Pastor Butch, and they're admitting that this is outright Satanism. They're putting up T-shirts at Target with the devil's head on it, and it says Satan respects personal pronouns.
Yep.
It's just outright Satanism. And I tell people, I say, this is the reason why these secret societies are important, because many of those secret societies, as we show in our series, our Secret Mysteries 1, 2, 3, in that series, probably the most influential occultist of the last 200 years was a guy named Eliphas Levi. And Levi was a 19th century occultist. He was briefly involved in Freemasonry, but he studied all the ancient mystery religions of the old world. And he is the guy who designed the most well-known image for Satanism probably that anybody's ever seen. And that's the Baphomet, you know, the goat-headed figure.
Sure, yes.
With one hand up, one hand down. Well, that goat-headed figure is half male and half female.
Yep.
Okay. The Baphomet, the hermaphrodite, as it says. And if you were to go look at that image online, the original drawing, and you look down in the bottom corner, you'll see the name Eliphas Levi. And this whole transgender thing where they're denying God's creative authority as the creator, and they're trying to blend the male and the female together. You could even go and study the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas, which is one of the, you know, false gospels that were created by the Gnostics. But in it, at one point, the Gnostic Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven shall not come until the male becomes female and the female becomes male, so that there is neither male or female.
All right, hang on to the break.
Saying?
Wow. Yeah, I do see what you're saying. And now that's. Folks, back at the break. We'll take a phone call next half hour, as always. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. with organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wildcrafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All righty, folks, we are back. We're talking to a guest, as he mentioned. We haven't been on. It's been on for many years. I think last time I talked to him, he was making a documentary about the Mark the Beast technology, and we were discussing, and I was trying to tell him about the digital picture of the driver's license, how digital information is going to play into the beast, and I think we've all seen that come to pass. You know, we'll get back to your topic in a second, Chris, but many years ago, back in 1998 or so, I went to renew my driver's license, and I'm sitting right where I'm sitting right now. The Holy Spirit said, you can't do that, and I thought, what? You know, that's absurd. I'm just thinking, there's something to make, just something different here. He said, you can't do that, and I got to asking, Lord, is that you or is it just me? Why can't I renew a driver's license? And a guy in Canada named George Bothwell opened my eyes after that when I got a chance to talk to him. It was a digital picture. It's a number of my face. It's a number of a man. That's me. It's my own private personal ID, my own unique qualities God gave me. And once you get that digital picture put on driver's license, it's shared worldwide. Your identity, digital identity, is tied to everything. And now the UN just said they want us, our digital identity, tied to every transaction we make financially by no later than 2030. Now, for 12 years, I didn't have a driver's license. Then we finally had the governor took the picture without doing digital, and I still don't have a digital picture on driver's license. But if I got one, I didn't volunteer, put that way. I didn't volunteer to them. So the point of it was, the Lord's trying to show me is that you're right about talking about digital pictures or whatever, digital anything, thumbprint or anything, because it's all going on and into a worldwide database that already has. And now they want everything you do, because it's all going to be digital currency real soon. They want everything you do to tie into your digital ID. And if you don't have it, you won't be able to buy or sell. Now, how close is that to the mark of the beast?
They're moving in that direction. And with the vaccines and the mandatory vaccinations, they've been trying to push that whole agenda to try and, you know, develop vaccine passports. And
you're
not vaccinated. I mean, there are people who speculated that maybe the COVID vaccine could become the mark of the beast. I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily think it is that, but they're definitely pushing and manipulating things in the direction where they want to control the economy.
Yes.
And control your life, control your spending, control just your ability to live upon planet Earth, really anywhere.
That's true.
You know,
that's
when,
true.
When they were doing the lockdowns in 2020 with COVID, you know, I have three underage daughters, and they were kind of in sort of stunned. Although one of my daughters is older now, she's no longer underage, I should say that, and she's in college now. But at the time, I was telling them, I said, girls, I said, well, the bad news is they're doing all this lockdown. I said, the good news is there's really no place else to go on planet Earth right now. You know, and Tennessee, as states go, Tennessee was actually not as horrible. And that's where we live now in Tennessee. We were out in California before, and thankfully we're not there anymore. But they locked down the whole planet. You couldn't go to Canada. You couldn't go to Europe. You couldn't go to Australia. And most of these other countries were worse off than we were. They are definitely moving things in that direction.
Well, they have been for many, many years. They've gotten us all used to the idea of numbers. You know, we got a Social Security number that's attached to you all your life, driver's license numbers. Everything is attached to you. I mean, everything you do, anything you do online, internet is all attached to you. Everything is totally on the wavelength of international ID for every individual on this earth. As a matter of fact, oh my goodness, I can't remember his name. It's Klaus Schwab's little skinny buddy, a little homosexual. What's his name? Harari or something like that. They said the goal was
to chip. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. The goal was to chip every individual on this earth. Chip him, he said. Now, I didn't say that. He said it. So this is where we're headed. But now, folks, we'll get your phone calls. I mean, I promise we'll get to all of you. I really mean that. 844-769-2944. But how involved are the Jesuits, the Masons, the Zionists, and many Protestant leaders tied up in all this?
Oh, I think they're very, very involved. I think they're all working in concert together. The thing that you learn about these secret groups, the Jesuits, the Freemasons, the Skull and Bones, and your Bilderberg type groups, your Bohemian Grove group out there, you know, they talk a lot about the pagan god Molech, the big owl-shaped
figure
have out there.
Yes.
But they've also got other pagan gods. They've got a big Buddha out there. The point I'm making is they all follow this ecumenical idea that all the gods are one and the same. That all the gods and all the different world religions, that's what the Freemasons teach. That's what the Skull and Bones teach. That's what the Jesuits teach. I mean, the Jesuits were behind Vatican Council II. What Vatican Council II proclaims is that basically Catholicism, Christianity, and Islam, and Buddhism, and Hinduism, et cetera, are all somehow or other one and the same religion. That there's no difference.
Well, we now have Chrislam. You know that.
Yes.
Chrislam.
Yes.
Yes, and so all these organizations, and maybe some of the heads of them, we could pick out different ones that lead in different organizations.
Can I throw something in there, Pastor?
You
Butch?
Sure? You go right ahead. Absolutely.
Show.
You go right ahead.
We have a radio program. Our main ministry is called Adullam Films, ADULLAM, adullamfilms.com. That's where we do our documentaries. We have a radio podcast called NoiseOfThunderRadio.com, and I just did a show that we're going to post by tomorrow on Georgetown University, which is the Jesuits University, supposedly a Catholic Jesuit university. They have just built a mosque there for the Muslims.
Wow.
They have built a mosque.
Wow.
And they have a Muslim professor there, named Jonathan Brown, who openly teaches and has taught now for years that slavery is perfectly acceptable because it was practiced by the Prophet Muhammad. I kid you not. And if your audience doesn't know that, you could go look this guy up, Professor Jonathan Brown, Georgetown University. You can listen to his audio. I actually played the audio on my radio program of him saying in a very sort of intellectual, philosophic way that he doesn't think slavery is wrong. And his reason is because he thinks Muhammad was the most, you know, enlightened human being, and you can't argue with the most enlightened human being because he's a Muslim. And he's been teaching this for years there, and you wonder, with all of the hysteria about slavery in early America, how is it that they're letting this guy teach at one of the most influential universities in our country? It's just unbelievable. But that's the kind of hypocrisy and deception that's going on at the university level.
Well, you know, that is not shocking at all when you think about what's happening in what I call the public school system and what's done to the youngins, including in my generation, not so much in mine entirely, but it started back then, obviously, with Darwinism and everything starting being taught when I was a young boy. So we see all this happening come together, but now, how infiltrated are we as a society in all areas now?
Well, I think I think we're very infiltrated. I mean, look at how many churches are flying the rainbow flag right now.
Oh, yes.
Part of how I got into the research that I did early on and still do, where I was focusing on, like, my secret mystery series focuses on Freemasonry, a lot on Freemasonry, and then Rosicrucianism. Rosicrucianism, for those who don't know, is symbolized by a rose and a cross. The cross symbolizes Christianity, and the rose symbolizes secrecy. So it's like it's a very, very deceptive system because they masquerade as though they're Christians when they know inwardly, secretly, they're not. They really believe all this pagan stuff, and they're not Christians at all. And the way that I got into my research was I was living out in California and was attending a church out there. It was the first church that I started regularly going to after I became a born-again believer. And I had been raised Catholic, so now I thought of myself as an evangelical, as a born-again believer, and was going. I didn't know the difference at the time between one Protestant church versus another. So I found a local church. The people seemed nice. It was called Disciples of Christ, and I started going there. And I found out, after I'd been there about a year and a half, that much of the leadership were Freemasons.
Uh-huh.
Okay? That they were involved in Masonry. And they were promoting all sorts of New Age doctrines, things like reincarnation. They would talk about wanting to go down and visit the local Islamic mosque and see how the Muslims worship God. And I would say to them, well, wait a minute, why would you think the Muslims worship God? They deny that Jesus is the Son of God. And of course, then they would have all these excuses, and they would say, oh, well, we don't want to discriminate, and we don't want to be bigoted, and this kind of thing. But they were into this whole ecumenical movement, higher critical arguments about the Bible, you know, where they didn't really think the Bible was the Word of God, and they questioned the authorship of, like, Moses, whether or not Moses actually wrote Genesis, things like that. And at the time, I was really puzzled. I couldn't figure out why a church would have people in leadership, because I knew the pastor, I knew the elders and the deacons and so on. I was actually very involved in the church. So I was very convicted as a Christian. But I came to realize that it was this influence of these Freemasons and their philosophy was intertwined in that church. And the impression that I had was that the church had not always been that way, that there was an earlier generation of believers who were much more traditional Bible-believing Christians, but they'd been systematically moving away from that. And that was when I became very convicted that the influence of these kind of groups, Freemasons and so on, in churches is just catastrophic theologically, that they do have an impact, and it's not a good impact. They're undermining the gospel, and the authority of the Bible is the Word of God.
Absolutely, absolutely. Some people take this the wrong way, but it's all right to do it, can't help it. A true believer in Christ, a truly born-again believer, is very biased. And you might want to call them bigoted if you want to. I can call what you want to. But we all were sinners, come to Christ the same way. Either we come through Christ by His grace and by His blood, or we don't come at all. So we're not being saying we're perfect. We didn't come that way, folks. We all have been born again. But when you become born again and truly serve Christ, you become very narrow-minded on what's right and wrong as far as worshiping, what's right and wrong as far as morals, don't you?
Oh, yeah, you become convicted that, I think if you're a true born-again believer, you're going to be convicted that the Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
And you're not going to be willing to compromise that. You're also going to be convicted that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by Him. In fact, the last Sunday that I spent at that church, I was mentioning to you, they had been drifting in this direction, but I had had lots of debates with the elders, with a pastor, and so on. And I was sitting there with my wife one Sunday, who was my fiance. She and I were not married yet, and we were sitting there, and the service began, and then some of the elders got up, and they announced for the first time, they'd never done this, for the first time they announced they were going to go to an interfaith prayer meeting where they were going to meet with Muslims, Orthodox Jews who don't believe the gospel, I think maybe Hindus, you know, possibly Buddhists or whatever, and so-called Christians. An interfaith prayer meeting with people from different religious groups, and they were going to all join together and have prayer. And I looked at my my wife, my fiance, and I said, we're not going to stay for communion, and we're not going to stay for the rest of it. So we have to get out of here. Literally within a few minutes, we got up and we walked out. And I wrote a long letter to the pastor, but we never went back to that church. I told the pastor why. But you know, and Pastor Butch, I was very involved with that congregation. So I wasn't just somebody who just went there and said, no, I used to write dramatic productions. I used to write and direct little plays for like Pentecost and different times of year and things like that. I would go to the weekly Bible study with the elders and the deacons. I was very involved in the congregation there. And so it was heartbreaking to see what was happening at that church.
Yeah, no doubt.
But that was how I learned about things like the New Age movement and the dangers of these alternative forms of Christianity.
Well, so, I tell you what, you come from being a Catholic into this so-called Protestant church, which was nothing but a satanic gathering club that waters down the gospel of Christ and damns people to hell. You come a long ways, Chris. You truly have. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Joe. Joe, come on in. Welcome.
Okay, thank you, Pastor Butch. My question to your guest is, I've heard that the Jesuits were involved in the Civil War times in encouraging the South to secede because they wanted to break up the United States because they didn't like it, that the United States was becoming the strongest country in the world, and that it was Protestant. And so they wanted, so the Jesuits and others of the European powers wanted to break up the United States so that the Catholics, you know, would remain the dominant, you know, religion in the world. What do you know about that?
Good question.
That's a great question, and there is a lot of truth to what you're saying. There's no question at all that the Vatican and the Jesuits were very involved in the American Civil War. Most people are not aware of it, but the Vatican was the only world power that officially recognized the Southern Confederacy. And they did so because, like you said, they wanted the South to secede. In fact, according to a Catholic priest who was a friend of Abraham Lincoln named Charles Chiniquy, he was a Catholic priest. He converted, became a Protestant eventually, became a Presbyterian. But he was a friend of Abraham Lincoln, and he had told Lincoln, he wrote a book called 50 Years in the Church of Rome, where he talked a lot about this, the Vatican's involvement during the Civil War, and even argued that it was the Jesuits who were behind the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. We're going over all this information in my new film, by the way. I just got back from Springfield, Illinois, where we went to the Abraham Lincoln Museum and Library and did some filming there. But anyway, yes, what you're saying has a lot of truth to it, from what I understand. But we're going to document it and show it. But the Jesuits and the Vatican were very involved in the slave trade. And they did not want to give up the slave trade. They wanted it to continue. And I think what you're saying is true, that they did not like the idea, because a lot of people don't realize the Catholic Church was trying to get control of the New World going all the way back to the 1500s. Okay? And they were, you had in the, down in Florida, you have a place called Fort Matanzas. And at Fort Matanzas, the word Matanzas means massacres, because you had a bunch of Protestant Huguenots who tried to start a colony there, and the Spanish Armada showed up, fought them, defeated them, and then tried to forcibly convert the Protestants to Rome, tried to force them to convert to Catholicism. Well, they refused, and so then the Spanish Catholics massacred them. And that's why they call it Matanzas. It means massacres.
Okay. All right. That's good. Very good. I hate to cut you off, running out of time, but very good question.
Oh, sorry.
Very good answer. That's no problem. Good question, Joe. And I've read that, say that also. I am not a Lincoln fan by any means, but I read that also. You know, as usual, both sides, North and South, were infiltrated by different people for different reasons. And you're right, Joe. Very good question. Anything else you want to ask, Joe? I think Joe's going. Okay. Let's go to Dino in Wisconsin. Dino, come on in.
Hey, hello, Dan. I've been calling for 20 years. So your name is Chris Pinto?
Yes, sir.
Correct? So
yes.
How do you spell that?
Yes.
P-I-N-T-O?
Yes.
Yes, P-I-N, like the car, the bean, the pony. I grew up with it, so.
What's that?
People used to. I said I grew up with it, so people used to call me
P-I-N-T-O, correct?
Yes, P-I-N-T-O.
Yes.
Like you said, like the car and the pony, Pinto.
Yeah, it's also a horse. I'm just making a little joke here.
Yeah, pony,
a Pinto
right,
horse.
Exactly. Yes.
The many secret societies that you have talked about, there's about six or seven of them. I've investigated all of them with many books. Yeah, people should do that. And here's about three verses for people out there when it comes to when John wrote the book of Revelation. I'm sure you're aware of where they are. Your name is Chris, right?
Right, Chris, right.
Yes.
Yeah. Revelation 11, verse 12. This is judgment. The great city, which is called Sodom and Gomorrah, was the same town where Christ was crucified. You know the verse, right?
Yes.
Revelation 11, verse 8. It refers to Jerusalem. And then in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, even John the Revelator was wondering what he saw.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was looking at a woman, and not a literal woman, but he was wondering, because even he could not understand it, but now it's all coming to pass. And then
yes,
the one verse that people got to really, I'm going to read it. It's in, I'm sure you know what it says, Chris. Let's see. Revelation 19, verses 9 and 10.
Okay.
God said to John, "You are blessed which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." He said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." I fell at Christ's feet, and he said unto me, see you don't do this. I am your fellow servant. I am the brothers that have the testimony of Jesus, the testimony of Jesus Christ who worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know that, that verse, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the spirit of prophecy. And okay. One more thing. You know the word Omicron, right?
Right.
Everybody?
Yes.
Yeah. Right? You know the word Omicron?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you reverse, it has the same letters, seven letters. It also means moronic. You know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
You knew that.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Hey, I got to jump, Dino. Good call. Thank you. Let's, before we go to the next caller, we got about 3 minutes left or less. Tell the folks how they can get a hold of you and contact you, Chris.
Well, they can contact us. We've got two websites. We have our Adullam Films site. That is adullamfilms.com. That's A-D-U-L-L-A-M films.com. And that's our main site where we have all of our resources, all the documentaries that we produce. We've got a documentary series. Really, our most popular is on the history of the Bible. Okay. Called A Lamp in the Dark, the Untold History of the Bible. And then we have our radio website, which is noiseofthunderradio.com. And there we have our podcast. And
noiseofthunderradio.com. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And let's talk to your friend, Daryl, in PA. Daryl, you got about 45 seconds. Better hurry.
Yeah, I will. And everybody, please get the book called Washington in the Lap of Rome, 1888, by Justin Dewey Fulton. He died in 1901. He wrote numerous books, but Chris republished his book, so get it from Adullam Films. And the price of the book, it's 349 pages, is well worth it for just the 70-page forward that Chris Pinto wrote. And thank you, Pastor Butch, for having Chris on. And also buy Pastor Butch's book, The Grand Design Exposed. It'll tell you how Jesuits took over all of Freemasonry. God bless.
Thanks, Carl. Daryl, appreciate it. Thank you. And Chris Pinto, about our time. I want to thank you for joining tonight. Can we do this again sometime?
Absolutely, Pastor Butch. I'd love to.
Well, if I do anything to help you anytime, you let me know, okay?
All right, brother, definitely. Same here.
I'll be talking to you soon, my friend. And folks, by the grace of God, I'll see you in the office tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern, 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. Y'all have a great night. See you tonight.
On the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.